Welcome to Career Tours. This week, post-interviewer recruiter communication. The questions this cast answers are, why do recruiters ask candidates to call them after an interview? What should I tell a recruiter after an interview? And what should my goal be in the post-interview call? If you're in the professional world, you've probably felt the pain at one point in your career of a not-so-great hire. And if you're in management or HR, you know the financial consequences of hiring folks into a role that are not the fit for the job. If you're in a company where you're expanding or even trying to fill a few critical roles, you may want to consider manager tools coming on board to deliver our effective hiring manager training. Our guidance isn't just for HR or the specific hiring managers. We recommend organizational responsibilities, as well as getting into the nitty-gritty of interviewing and onboarding actions. For $15,000, we'll train up to 30 of your folks, those people who should be involved in the process, so that you can have a cohesive process to find and offer the right candidates. It's well worth it, considering the cost of a bad hire. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com if you'd like to learn more. This came out of a real question. Somebody sent us an email and said, I don't understand this, but somebody has asked me to call them after my interview and give them an evaluation. And I don't know what to say. And is this normal? And the answer was yes and yes. And we'll tell you what to say. So we did tell them what to say. And then we created this podcast, which is the longer answer. So recruiters and sometimes recruiting departments will ask candidates to call them after an interview to get candidates' feedback. Feedback with a small f, not the feedback model feedback. And this is an opportunity to share with the recruiter what they want to know, but it's also an opportunity to send a message that encourages the company to make an offer to you. So though whilst you're helping out the recruiter, you can also help out yourself. So what's our outline?
All right, our outline for today is call within an hour of the interview. If you're not interested, say so immediately. Tell them how excited you are. Tell them about positives. If asked, tell them about the negatives. Close again and send thank you notes.
It's a long one, but I think they're all quite short sections. So the first thing is call within an hour of the interview. So if you want to demonstrate your interest in the role, and to make yourself a favored candidate, make a call within an hour of the end of the interview. You can literally go sit in your car in the car park, in the parking lot, and make the call there. Or you can drive to Starbucks and make the call there and do it. You know, you don't have to get home. You don't have to have written up notes. You don't have, it's just your first impressions. So you might want to give yourself 2 or 3 minutes to think about the things that we're going to talk about here, but it doesn't need to be a long time. And in the case of the person that wrote to us, it was the recruiting department of the company they were applying to. So sometimes recruiters are outside a company, and sometimes there are internal recruiters who actually work in HR. Sometimes they have different names, but often they have the name recruiter. And those people act like an external agency. They almost have the same role as an external recruiter, and their clients are the other departments of the company. If HR or the recruiter ask you to make this call, you know that's what they're doing. They're acting in the same way that a recruiter would, and so the rest of this guidance applies as well.
Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, guys, whether it's internal or external, recruiters want you to call after the interview to give them information that they can then take and relay to the company, their customers. Remember, the recruiters, even if they're not internal, work for the company itself, not for you.
Think about who pays them. It's not you. You don't pay people to find you jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they work for them, not for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they want to gauge your true interest in the role to help them decide what to do next, how to serve their client best. So if you think about it, from the hiring manager's point of view, really, the outcomes of an interview, there's four potential outcomes, right? The combinations of hiring manager and of candidate saying yes or saying no. the hiring manager's next action is really going to depend on the outcome. That is, whether the candidate is yes or no, and whether they are yes or no. So it's helpful for you to know first, before we talk about it in detail, what the actual options are, because it tells you what to expect from the call that you're going to make to your recruiter.
So we can create a standard 2x2 matrix with the four possible outcomes. So if you draw a box and draw a vertical line through the middle of it and a horizontal line through the middle of it, you end up with a box with four smaller boxes in it. At the top of the columns, you write yes and no for the hiring manager. And to the left of the rows, you write yes and no for the candidate. You can name the four boxes. So there's the candidate says no and the hiring manager says no. The candidate says no and the hiring manager says yes. The candidate says yes, but the hiring manager says no. And the candidate says yes and the hiring manager says yes. So there's four different outcomes, and what the hiring manager will do next depends on the outcome. And because of that, that colors what you're going to tell the recruiter. And understanding where you are in that matrix is really helpful to understand the hiring manager and the recruiter's point of view. So if we take each one in turn, we'll start with the candidate says no and the hiring manager says no. In other words, you don't want that job, aren't interested in it, and the hiring manager doesn't think you're the right candidate. And in some circumstances, that's the hiring manager's holy grail. Like, that's their preferred outcome for a really weird reason. One, the hiring manager doesn't waste any time or political capital on getting an offer together. If they're going to say no, they don't have to do any work, which they like, right?
And they've alleviated bringing a person in that didn't want to be there.
Right.
It's the perfect outcome.
Yeah, and they don't have to give feedback, right? If a candidate wants the job, then they're going to have to give feedback about the interview, which recruiting managers or hiring managers hate giving feedback. They hate saying no to someone they know was interested in the role. So even though this doesn't fill their role, it's actually a really good outcome for them. So that was outcome number one. Candidate says no, hiring manager says no.
The next then is candidate says no, but hiring manager says yes. Now, if the hiring manager really wanted to make an offer and the candidate has said that they wouldn't accept the role, the manager now moves into sales 101, right? The candidate is objecting in sales language, and the manager wants to know more about those objections to see if maybe there's something that I can overcome, that I can alleviate. Maybe there's some things that I could add of value that would turn the candidate around. But if the candidate says, I wouldn't accept an offer because, for example, the hiring manager seemed kind of unclear about the goals of the role, then the hiring manager or recruiter could say in turn, okay, well, if we could get a bit more clear then about the goals, how would you feel at that point? Would you be able to consider accepting the role at that point? A bit of negotiation can happen at this point, right?
It's like going to a car dealership and you say, no, it's too expensive. And they say, if we could get your monthly payment down to $300, would you take it? And if you've just said it's too expensive at five, but, you know, then it's a persuasive offer if they bring it down to three. So if you are in this position where you know that you're not interested in the job, and you have a sense or you're told that the hiring manager is interested in hiring you, then expect this kind of conversation. And we're going to tell you what to say a bit later, but this is 99% of the time, if the hiring manager is interested and you're not, they are going to talk about your objections.
Absolutely. So then the next possible outcome, candidate says yes and hiring manager says no. Now, in this case, the hiring manager doesn't particularly want to hear why the candidate, in this case, is still excited about being offered the role. That is, the candidate wouldn't fit our needs, so it's kind of irrelevant. For the candidate, though, talking to the recruiter is still an opportunity to make that hiring manager potentially change their mind.
It's the objection thing, but backwards, right? The candidate wants to know, okay, so what did they think that I didn't have that I can now tell you or prove that I do have that makes them want to hire me? You know, if the hiring manager says, I liked him, but he's too expensive. Okay, well, all right, what if I do it for 10 grand a year less?
Right.
So that's...
Again, negotiation
phase. That's that persuasion piece. Yeah, exactly. So the last one is the candidate says yes and the hiring manager says yes. And knowing the candidate is interested in the role makes the work that the hiring manager is going to have to do to get the offer worthwhile. So candidates always say, I don't understand why it takes so long after I interviewed for me to get the offer paperwork. He said he liked me. He said he was going to offer me. And now, you know, I don't have anything firm and it's been 2 weeks. Well, what's happening is a whole bunch of work.
Yeah, exactly.
The hiring manager, even though they have a request for a new hire or a requisition for a new hire approved, in other words, the organization says, yes, you have enough work to do that you need another team member, then that's a kind of general approval. Like usually it's a job title, it's a salary, that's kind of it. But when they are down to a specific candidate, then they have to go and get the details approved. So a specific salary, not a general one, a specific job title, a specific level in the organization. Sometimes job titles have levels. They have to have that approved. They have to have the start date approved because a company... a bit like personal finance, really. A company might not want someone to start in February. They might want them to start in March for tax reasons or payment reasons or all sorts of reasons. And, you know, the reporting line, sometimes that changes. Maybe the hiring manager is getting a team that's big enough now and they need a team leader. So now they need a team leader approved in order to bring this person on. So there's all sorts of machinations that are going on, which the candidate is completely oblivious to.
Exactly.
But if the candidate, the hiring manager really wants to know, is this person going to accept if I do all of this work? They don't want to do all the work and spend the political capital of persuading people to support them if the candidate's not going to accept, it's pointless.
Right. So even if you're not interested, the hiring managers are still pretty keen to find out what you really thought about the opportunity, right? They want to hear all vantage points, right? What other candidates might think of it from your point of view as well. Even if you closed in the interview, hiring managers are never actually sure that you really meant it, right? They expect, or their hope is, I suppose, that you're going to tell the recruiter some kind of unvarnished truth, that there's this higher degree of trust between yourself and the recruiter because they're not the hiring manager.
And you're
might
not
just
in an interview.
Right? You're not in an interview. You're going to be a bit more truthful about your feelings. So you should know, as a smart candidate, that ought not be the case.
Because remember, the recruiter is not working for you. They're working for the hiring manager. It's not you and the recruiter finding you a job. It's the recruiter and the company finding a candidate. They're two different things. And the hiring manager is the client of the recruiter. So the recruiter, what the recruiter really wants is information that they can share with the client so that they're providing the service that gets them a commission. Because the other thing to remember about recruiters, external recruiters at least, is they are salespeople. Recruitment is not a touchy-feely, let's put people together and help them with their careers job. It's a sales job. And there are many people who started in recruitment and didn't last very long because they didn't know that. And the best recruiters are the best salespeople. They could sell anything. They just happen to be selling people, you know. So, and then for you as the candidate, acting in alignment with the recruiter's needs is what makes you a favored candidate. So recruiters have favorite candidates. It's a thing. We have most favored candidate, MVP, just like everyone else. So you have someone on your roster who has awesome skills, communicates well, is a great interview, is reasonable about their requirements, and that person's perfect. And you might send them on 3 different interviews, all of which you would get commissioned for if they accepted. Now, If you're a favored candidate, if you're the kind of candidate that a recruiter likes and you say no to a job, like you get an offer and you say, no, I'm not interested, or I don't want it, or I'm going to keep going, you're essentially taking commission out of the recruiter's pocket. Every time someone gets employed, the recruiter gets a commission. And so if you're going to reject the role, you've still got to act in alignment with their needs. You've got to know what they want, which is to provide the service to the hiring manager. Otherwise, you just took money from them. All of a sudden, you're not favored anymore.
You're not the favorite. So, no longer an MVP.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really important to understand those four outcomes and what the hiring manager will want, and then what the recruiter will want to give the hiring manager to support them in those different outcomes, because then you can act in alignment with the recruiter and that will keep you as favored candidate. And, you know, if a recruiter gets a job request, they probably only send three people. They probably only send 5-6 resumes max. So if they've got 100 people on their roster and they're going to send 6 resumes, no, you got to be, there's a lot to the recruiter candidate relationship. It's not about you two together enhancing your career. It's about you being the product that they can sell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're not your career counselor.
Yeah.
This is why that length of time, we say call as soon as you can after the interview, is because to the recruiter, that's really indicative of your interest, right? The longer you, bunny ears, put off the call, the less interested.
You seem. Right? If you were really excited about something, you'd call me right away.
Exactly.
If I send you a gift and it's something you love, you would text me right now and say, oh, here's a picture of it on my desk.
Right, here's a photo of it.
It's awesome.
I feel like I've done that before. Yeah. Exactly. It's awesome.
If I send you a gift and I don't hear for a week, either it didn't get there or you weren't that impressed. And it's the same thing, right?
It's exactly the same thing. And the recruiters are also humans. Without any information, before you make the call, all they can do is guess. And you know that the longer they're left guessing, the more certain they are that it's bad news. Because, like people. So why not, in that case then, knowing that the longer you leave it, the more, I want to say, dread is being built up in their mind, why not just call immediately? Even if you're going to tell them that you're not interested, why, again, to maintain that recruiter relationship, to stay the VIP, right? To stay that individual that they favor, why not call them immediately regardless so that they don't have to go through that period of uncertainty between interview and the phone call? Just give them a call.
Now, if you're not interested, say so immediately. And candidates always complain that hiring managers and recruiters make small talk or they prevaricate before giving them negative news that they're not going to get an offer. Like, how did it go? Oh, really?
Right.
And did you get there? All the did you get there okay? And how's your car and your cat and your mother? No, they're not going to offer you. So it's not fair to complain about that and then do the same thing. So if you're truly not interested, say so. And you can say, I am not interested, or this is not the right job for me, or this is not the right fit. Like, don't say I think, because people will argue with I think. Say, I am not interested.
Exactly. And Wendy says, truly not interested. For a reason. We add truly not interested because we don't want to overreact to negatives that we saw or felt during the interview, right? So truly means for real. There are all kinds of things that could be changed about the job. We talked about the negotiation phases, right? When we're not in exact agreement. Even if in your head as the candidate, you think, that it, based on my conversation, it didn't feel like a negotiable. It felt like a really solid line, especially if this is your only opportunity at this time. Don't say you're not interested before you've had a chance to discuss the offer, okay? Which at this stage, you don't actually have.
Yeah, you don't have an offer. I think I've told this story before, but I went for a job in a company that made playground equipment. It's very cool. And they wanted me to talk to German suppliers because I speak German. So it was a role with suppliers of the stuff that they needed to make the equipment. And I went for the interview. I really liked the place, but they said I would have to have lunches with the suppliers. Like the suppliers would come and they would take you out to lunch and, you know, do what suppliers and salespeople do. And right? That sounded horrifying to me. I was 21. I was straight out of university. And that just seemed like the worst thing I could ever have to do. And so when I called the recruiter, I said, you know, I really like the place. The guy was nice. The job sounds interesting, but I cannot go to lunch with people. I'm sorry. I just can't do that. So I'm not interested in. And then about half an hour later, the recruiter called back and said, hey, they can take that out of the job. You don't have to do that. Now will you go for a second interview? I was like, what? That seemed to be like super important. And now when I think back of it and I think about that role, it was super important to have a relationship with suppliers, right? But they were like, no, we'll take that out, or we'll send someone else, or we'll go with you until you feel comfortable. So
exactly.
Something that seemed to me to be completely non-negotiable totally was. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're going to want to expect then that the recruiter is going to want detail about that negative, right? That going for lunch. What is the catch that caused you to make that decision? Because if you don't share that with them, they never have the opportunity then to persuade you to reconsider or to go to the company and say, hey, is there anything we can do about this one little sticking point?
Yeah, you loved them. You thought that candidate was the perfect fit. Now, this is their objection. What can you do about it, right? If we get back to those outcomes.
Is there anything you can do about it, right? It doesn't mean that the company is going to negotiate and come around and make you an offer. Even if you are their favored candidate, maybe it is an actual make it or break it decision to them at the moment. But recruiters are salespeople, again, as we said, and they just want to have as many possible options as are available to them. So that means the candidate being open to discussing the role is super important to them so that they have some data to go back to their actual clients with to discuss.
And it's possible that the recruiter won't ask you to reconsider. Sometimes they've already heard from the hiring manager that they don't want that they don't think you're a good fit. And so the recruiter is not going to bother arguing. Now, they might still have the discussion about the negative so that they can send you to a more appropriate interview the next time. But they may not try and persuade you. They may not talk about your objections. And whatever you do, don't say, I'm not interested, because you think that somehow that will get you a different offer, more money, a better title,
reverse all of psychology. Those
things. Like, don't use reverse psychology. Because apart from anything, recruiters are the salespeople, and they're excellent at doing it, and they're excellent at seeing through it. So just be professionally honest. Don't try and play people. It's just not. It's not right.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, guess what? We created an online portal for Roadmap. You can now enter your Roadmap data online. No more apps, no more tiny keyboard, no more I don't have room on my phone for another app. Just you, your desktop, and Roadmap. A whole new relationship to make your life better.
We talked about what to do if you want to say no, but if you don't, you want to tell the recruiter then in your call immediately how excited you are about the role that puts your message across in a more convincing way. Tell them that you closed the interview. You actually said, you know, at the end of my interview, I told each interviewer I want an offer and this is why, and then repeat the reasoning that you had in the interview to your recruiter. Things like telling them, you know, now that I actually did the interview, I'm even more excited than I was before. Because now I've had, for example, an opportunity to visit the company. I talked to some of the team members, asked questions about the work, what have you. Tell them what it is that you're so keen about with the organization. You want to emit to them that excitement so that they know how excited you are about the role itself.
And so many people are wishy-washy or, you know, they don't want to be excited because it's not cool. Or if I sound like I'm not excited, they'll work harder to get me, like by mm-hmm. upping the salary or whatever.
Yeah.
And
again, I don't want to be too eager.
Yeah, don't be Machiavellian because we've already said that. And also, why not share your excitement? If you want the hiring manager to be excited about you, you have to be excited about them. And remember, just because you want that offer doesn't mean the hiring manager wants to give it to you. It doesn't mean you are the best candidate. And, you know, best is subjective, best is changeable. And your excitement can sometimes be the split between a person with the same skills, same experience as you. When we're trying to weigh up two candidates, if I have two candidates and they have more or less the same skills and one is super excited and the other one isn't, which one am I going to offer? So be excited if you're excited, and be more excited if you're excited.
Right? Because they're going to go back to the hiring manager in my mind. And if what they say to the hiring manager is, you know, they said, yeah, and they had some really good points, but didn't seem overly excited.
I'm not feeling it. Yeah. He's like, whereas this guy, he really wants it. He is so going to work so hard for you.
So eager. Exactly. That's the message you want to transmit.
Way easier to sell an excited candidate than it is.
Totally. So you also then want to tell them about the positives, right? So for each interview that you as a candidate attended, you want to be mindful to tell the recruiter two positives from each interview. So if you were there for, let's say, a half a day, you had four interviews with four different people, you'd need to come up in that case then with eight anecdotes.
And they would be things like information that the interviewer gave you that was positive for you. So things like you'll be working on these projects, or you'll be able to work with this person, or you'll be able to work from home 2 days a week, or, you know, something that the interviewer told you that made the job more interesting to you.
Mm-hmm. Or answers that you felt went overly well. Right.
So when I gave this question, and the hiring manager was like really excited to talk about that experience, really wanted to know more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indications that the interviewer was interested in a particular skill or experience.
So things like, I used Java in my last job and we had a long talk about how useful that was. Or we used Jira for project management and that's what they used there. And I had when I answered the question, I told the hiring manager about a couple of tweaks we made in our own in my current company that really helped. And the hiring manager was really interested in knowing about those things.
Mm-hmm. Positive encounters with other members of the staff that you might have come across?
Yeah. So you might have gone to lunch with the rest of the team. You might have sat in reception and had a chat to somebody in the team. You might have been introduced to people that weren't actually interviewing you, but had a positive experience with those people.
Mm-hmm. Being given a building tour, a walk around the office, things like that.
Yeah. This is where your desk will be. And everybody goes, I don't like that desk. I'm not going to take this job. Guess what? Desks can be moved. Yeah. A building tour or a plant tour, an introduction to people in an office is always really good because that's extra effort for the hiring manager and they only make that effort for the people they're interested
yes.
in.
Yes. Actually, I did the effective hiring manager last week and a hiring manager actually told me my team knows that if I walk them around and introduce them, that it's a yes in my mind. Really positive. Absolutely positive. And things like being asked specifics about your availability, requirements, potential start date, items like that.
Yeah. So, you just told me about this project. When's it due to end? Or if we made you an offer, would you be able to start in February? Those kind of things. Those are super positive. And you also want to include positives for interviewers that you didn't feel went as well. So let's say you go to an interview day, you have four interviews, three of them go really well, and one of them's a bit iffy. You don't you don't kind of click with the interviewer, or they ask you some questions that are a bit left field and you don't feel like you answered them as well. You were tired and it was starting to get difficult. Yeah. So if the hiring manager or the recruiter gets a report that, oh, so I interviewed him, it wasn't great, right? Then they're going to weigh it up against those other three positive reports first. But also, if the recruiter hears that one of the interviews didn't go well, but they hear from you two positives, you know, like, you know, I talked about this, they asked me about that, you know, whatever, which we've just said, it kind of mutes the negative in their minds. Like, oh, maybe they just didn't click, or maybe he was getting tired and it was harder, or maybe the person who was interviewing had a tough meeting beforehand. So they stop, it stops being so much about there's a problem with the candidate and starts to be about external things.
Mm-hmm. And this is not, Wendy's not suggesting being dishonest about like making up fabricated positives for a truly bad interview, but no interview is universally negative, like 100% negative, completely bad. So just, it's just looking with an eye towards the positive rather than focusing on the negative. The positives are there, just look for them. That's all.
If you ask specifically about the negatives, then you have to answer them. If you are asked a specific question, you have to answer the specific question. That's a general rule of professionalism, not an interview thing. So you don't have to volunteer negatives, but if you are asked specifically, is there something that didn't go as well, or were there any interviewers that you didn't get on with or you didn't get a positive feeling about? If you're asked specifically and you have interest in the role, then tell the recruiter there was something. Right? If you're not interested in the role, it doesn't matter that right, there were negative. Matter. So you can just say, no, it was fine. But if you're really interested, then you have to keep this information flow thing going and you have to answer the question you're asked. So if an interview was a mixed bag and it was sort of 50-50, then talk about each interview, talk and find at least one positive in each one. But answer truthfully, you know, if the recruiter hears a report that you absolutely fluffed a question. I was just thinking, we asked a candidate once, this is a question I actually don't like, but tell me about a failure. And the candidate said, well, I was going to get married and my bride-to-be left me at the altar. Which was
just
not
a failure.
It was a failure. He was very upset about it, understandably, but it wasn't quite what we wanted in the interview.
Right?
If the recruiter calls me and says, what did you think of him? And I say, okay, well, I liked him until he said this. And actually, that's not the worst thing. If the rest of the interview went well, I would probably just laugh about it and say, you know what? He generally seems like a good guy. Somebody steered him wrong on that, how to answer that question, and I'm still gonna make an offer. We didn't, because the rest of his interview was bad, but that's by the way. If I call the recruiter after the interview as the interviewer, and I say, and the recruiter says, how was it? And I say, well, there was this one question, and I tell him about the question and the answer, which I would, because it's funny. And then the recruiter calls the candidate and says, is there anything that didn't go well? Or any questions you didn't think you answered well, and the candidate doesn't admit to that question. Now, it's difficult because as an interviewer, I did not say in the interview, that's a really stupid answer. I said, oh, that must have been disappointing for you. And I carried on to the next question. So it's possible that the candidate didn't notice that was a bad question. But if the recruiter says, was there anything that you don't feel you answered well? No, and they're kind of like, well, I answered this question and they didn't ask me about it. It was a bit weird. You know, the recruiter's going to be like, yeah, well, that was a mistake. It's about, you know, if somebody knows something negative and you don't bring it up, it sounds like you're trying to cover it up. So if you know there was something negative and you know that the hiring manager will have told the recruiter, then you have to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they bring up a specific instance, like if they specifically mention something, you have to address that thing, right? You can't just hold that back. You have to address that thing. But again, like Wendy said, get out ahead of that. It shows, if nothing else, a bit of self-awareness on behalf of the candidate and a little bit more forgiveness. It's like, okay, legit, they also agree. Not ideal.
And I haven't ever been in an interview where a candidate has answered every question perfectly. It doesn't happen. And so, you know, one bad answer is not the end of the world.
Exactly. Now, that said, you don't have to volunteer negative information if you're not asked about it. Okay? So like when your interviews were kind of a mixed bag, but 50-50 kind of in my mind, take the time to talk about each one, find at least one positive to focus on. But yeah, unless the recruiter point blank asks you for negatives, you don't necessarily have to share them at will.
The other thing about that is what you think is a negative may not bother the recruiter.
Exactly.
Again, you know, like the example I gave, I wasn't going out to dinner or out to lunch with suppliers in a million years. And I thought of that as a significant negative. They didn't. So, you know, that's the other thing about negatives is you may not have the same perspective. So the last thing to do is close again. So when you've told the recruiter everything you want to and you've answered all their questions, tell them again that you closed and close them too. So if you haven't got the interview series, which is available on our website, it's a special series of podcasts just about the hiring and interview, the job search and the interview process. And we get emails every day that say, I got this job because of the interview series. So if you're searching for a new job, go get the interview series. One of the podcasts in there is about the close. And basically a close is you say, I want an offer and here's why. Now notice you're not saying, I'm going to take the job.
Right. I will take the offer.
That's not what it means. It means I want an offer. I want to hear the terms that the company will offer me and then I'll decide whether or not I take it. You don't have any power until you have an offer. So you want them to give you an offer. So when you're talking to the recruiter, you've gone through that whole conversation. The last thing you say to the recruiter is, now, I just want to tell you again, really excited. I want an offer. And here's why. I think the role is an excellent one for me. I'm really excited to working on that project. I love the team seem like my kind of people. You know, specific things about why you want that offer. Again, it's about excitement.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And this is also, guys, the right time to ask about next steps, timing, what to expect. If the hiring manager didn't mention it during the interview, and sometimes they don't get to it, right? What to expect next or when to hear back, things like that. So talk about that piece then with the recruiter now. Ask those questions. What comes next?
And the very last part of this is to send thank you notes.
Yeah, we absolutely recommend, guys, again, going back to Wendy and talking about the interview series, sending physical handwritten thank you notes after the event. One to each interviewer, but also in this case, we've got a recruiter involved, an additional person. Include the recruiter in your thank you notes. So thanking them for the time and effort that they're putting in to getting you an interview, right? The time they're spending after the interview, reviewing it with you, interceding on your behalf with the hiring manager, with the organization. Again, if you want to stay top of mind, the favored candidate to the recruiter, little steps like this, something that only takes you a few seconds, goes an awful long way in becoming that top candidate.
And talking of objections, people say it takes too long and why can't I send an email? You can send an email. You can. It doesn't take too long for mail. First class mail gets there the next day because you're probably in the same city. So have some thank you notes at home or have some in the car with you. Know who you're seeing and the address of the office. You can even you can write the company address on the outside of the envelopes before you even go in.
Exactly.
Write your thank you note in Starbucks and put it in the mail and you're done. It's amazing. I remember as a recruiter, having thank you cards, only a couple, we would stick them to the wall of our cubicles and people would come past and say, oh, is it your birthday? We say, no, guess what? You never guess what. This candidate sent me a thank you. Look at this card. Look at this card. And we would take it down and we would show it to people because it's so rare that people do it. Now, sending a thank you card will not get you a job. It won't. If you're not the right candidate, it won't. But if there's two of you and one sends a thank you card and one doesn't, it can tip you over the edge. So send a thank you note. Include the recruiter. It's good etiquette and it makes you stand out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The post-interview recruiter call or internal HR recruiter call is something that's common. And it's a great opportunity to emphasize positives that happen in the interview, your skills, your experience. So given the opportunity to have one more instance of sharing with an individual your excitement for taking on this new role, why wouldn't you take the advantage of that, right? Make that call. Don't waste that opportunity.
People think it's another piece of admin, and it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It is another piece of admin, but it's also a really good opportunity to be excited, to just do some of those little things that might tip someone mm-hmm. over the edge.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another topic.